Today's show is all about the Eucharist. Stick around because I think you're going to enjoy it. Hey there, welcome to the Friday edition of the Gary Zimak Show. My name is Gary Zimak, and I'm going to be hanging out with you here for the next 30 minutes. As you listen to this show, I'll be at leading my Pray, Hope, and Don't Worry retreat at the Mount Vernon Retreat House in the Philadelphia area. So if you wouldn't mind, please say a prayer for all of us there. My goal this weekend is to bring all of us, including myself, closer to Jesus Christ, because we know that He is the answer to any anxiety that we face. He's the only way that we're going to experience peace. So I'm pre-recording this before I drive out to Mount Vernon. I've got the window open. It's a beautiful day. My beverage du jour is a nice big tall glass of water. And I am all set to talk about mainly the Eucharist. That's what we're going to talk about today. You know, Friday we do our double header. We talk about the hidden power of kindness. We open the book Kindness by Father Lawrence Lovasik. And then we look at the Mass readings for Sunday's Mass. Well, guess what? The Mass readings are about the Eucharist. Father Lovasik is talking about the Eucharist being the solution for all of the selfishness that we may face in our life. We're going to discuss the Eucharist and charity. So if you have trouble being charitable, as many of us do, right? We're not perfect. It's not easy sometimes to be nice to people when they really get on our nerves, when it's difficult, when it involves some sort of suffering. The Eucharist can help. The graces that our Lord gives us can help us to overcome our tendency to not be nice to people. So that's what's on tap for today's program. Just a quick reminder that Monday at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, I will be on Relevant Radio's morning air. You can listen online, or you can listen if you're in the Relevant Radio listening area. We're going to be talking about Jesus Christ as the same yesterday and today and forever. That familiar verse from Hebrews 13:8 reminds us that Christ doesn't change. He still performs miracles. He's still alive. He is still available to be part of our life, but He waits for us to invite Him in to our lives. He's not going to force His way in. I wrote a blog post about this on followingthetruth.com, so check that out if you want to know what we'll be talking about, and I hope you'll be able to tune in. That's morning air, 7 a.m. Eastern Time on Relevant Radio, and then right after that, I'll do my weekly appearance on the Wake Up program on Catholic Community Radio in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You can find out more details about this by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. While you're there, if you'd like to invite me to speak at your parish, I would love to do that. If you'd like to find out more about my books, where to purchase them, including the latest, Faith, Hope, and Clarity, How to Know God's Will, or if you'd like to find out anything else about the work that I do, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. While you're there, you might want to consider picking up some Mystic Monk coffee, the best coffee you'll ever drink, and that comes from a coffee fanatic like me. You'll love Mystic Monk coffee. You'll be supporting a really good cause, and you'll be supporting my work as well. Okay, here's the other thing I want to mention. Now, on Tuesday, I'm flying down to Birmingham, Alabama to tape a week of episodes with Johnette Bankovic. We're going to do a week of episodes on my new book, Faith, Hope, and Clarity, How to Know God's Will. I'll be at Mount Vernon all weekend leading the retreat. My hope is to try to record a program for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday sometime over the weekend or on Monday. That may not happen, so I'm warning you in advance, don't panic if I don't do a show every day next week. I'm going to try, but sometimes things happen and it's not that easy. I'm pretty sure I'll do a show on Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we're just going to have to see what happens. So I thank you for your patience. Stay tuned. Don't panic. I'll remind you of this again on Monday. Also, remember that on September the 4th, we begin our preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary on this program. So stay tuned for more information about that. Really, what we'll do is we'll go 33 days straight, including the weekends. This program will air. We'll be using Father Michael Gately's book, 33 Days to Morning Glory. You may already have a copy of that book. And essentially, I'll just lead you through, day by day, preparation for total consecration. I'll give you some extra tidbits along the way, so we're not going to just be using Father Gately's book. This is the fifth year in a row that I've led total consecration, so I think I learned a thing or two along the way, and I know it's made a tremendous difference in my life, and I absolutely am so grateful to Our Lady for being such a part of my life and for bringing me close to Jesus, her son. So that's getting started very soon, so stay tuned for more info. Okay, let's, after a sip of my water, because I just talked a lot, after my sip of my water, let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving us another day. Thank you for the many blessings that you pour forth into our life each and every day. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to one day live with you forever in heaven. We're very grateful for that. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for never being unavailable when we need you. Thank you for just your availability whenever we need to speak with you. Thank you for just helping us and for all that you do to allow us to experience peace. Father, we ask you to help the sick, the lonely, the anxious, those who are struggling financially, those who are battling addictions, those who are dealing with scrupulosity, those who are dealing with doubt or despair, those who may have fallen away from you, those who are suffering from religious persecution, those who are homeless, those who are dealing with extreme poverty, those who are dealing with weather conditions. We ask you to help them all, reach out to them, let them know how much you love them. Allow them to feel your peace and your love. Father, I turn this program over to you now. I ask you to speak through me, use my voice and my words to proclaim your message and open our minds and our hearts so we may be receptive to hear your message. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Mother Mary, we turn to you now and we ask for your intercession. We need you, Mom. We need you to help us to grow closer to Jesus. And together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Maximilian Kolbe, whose feast we celebrate today, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, thank you for praying with me. I do want to mention St. Maximilian Kolbe. His feast is today. A little bit about him. He was born in 1894, and he died in 1941. He became a Franciscan and devoted his life to fostering devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary as a priest, publisher, and founder of the City of the Immaculate. He was sentenced to hard manual labor at the death camp in Auschwitz, and he offered his life in exchange for that of a family man. He's remembered for his prophetic words, "Hatred is not a creative force. Only love is a creative power." Amazing, amazing saint. And you definitely want to ask for his intercession, especially so that you can be as bold as he was. You know, we're not all going to be called to be martyred in a literal sense, but there is a certain sense of martyrdom that goes along with all Christians. We're called to give up our life for the Lord in some way. St. Maximilian can help you to do that, because it's not something that is easy for many of us, right? Not an easy thing. But he was able to give up his life voluntarily to save the life of a man who had a family in the horrible death camp of Auschwitz. You're going to be hearing a lot more about St. Maximilian as we go through our 33-day preparation to total consecration. He is one of the three figures that Father Gately uses in his book, St. John Paul II and Blessed Mother Teresa being the other two. So we're going to be hearing more about him. He was very devoted to Our Lady, and he's definitely someone that can help us as we proceed along our journey. I want to thank you for tuning in. My name is Gary Zimek. We do this program every Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. You can listen directly from blogtalkradio.com. You can listen from my website, followingthetruth.com, or you can download the program from iTunes. It always cracks me up when I give this little pitch, because if you're hearing it, you've obviously figured out how to listen. But just for the record, you may not know that there are more than one way to listen to the program. So that's why I do it. So it's not that dumb after all, right? Okay, let's talk about these readings, good readings for Sunday. We're continuing. The gospel continues Jesus and his the story of Jesus' bread of life discourse. And it's John chapter 6. We're going to be reading this from. This whole series of readings for Sunday, which is the 20th week in ordinary time, has to do with the Eucharist. We start out by looking at the book of Proverbs, chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up her seven columns. She has dressed her meat, mixed her wine. Yes, she has spread her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the heights out over the city. Let whoever is simple turn in here. To the one who lacks understanding, she says, come eat of my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness that you may live. Advance in the way of understanding. When we receive our Lord, in the Holy Eucharist, we get an infinite amount of graces, which helps us to grow closer to Him, and it increases our understanding, our wisdom, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, therefore enabling us to walk with Him more closely and to follow in His footsteps. And these are graces that help us to do things that we wouldn't ordinarily be able to do. We don't want to try to become holy all by ourselves because we're going to fail. I don't care how good you think you are. If you don't receive the Eucharist on a regular basis, you're going to be in trouble. If you're in trouble, remember, it may affect your eternal salvation. That is, you might not make it to heaven. I can't state it any more bluntly than that. We've got to be careful. I don't care how holy you are or how holy you think you are. You can slip up. Don't ever forget what Jesus said. Apart from me, you could do nothing. John 15:5. They are very important words to live by. He doesn't want us to do it by ourselves. If you find it difficult to trust, if you find it difficult to be kind to other people, if you find it difficult to do and say the right thing, if you find it difficult to pray consistently, no matter what it is you find it difficult, first of all, you're human. So that doesn't surprise me because I find those things difficult too. But you need to turn to the Lord and receive the Eucharist as often as possible. I receive communion daily. It has transformed my life. I realize not everybody can do that. But I would encourage you as often as possible as you can receive the Eucharist. Obviously every Sunday. But this is such a great gift we have. Our Lord wants to help us, and He gives us this gift. So please, ask for the desire. If you don't have the desire, ask Him for that too. Say, Lord, please help me to appreciate receiving the Holy Eucharist more. Help me to really understand. Help me to desire it. Because I'll tell you what happens. We start to desire material things and possessions. That's our human nature. We like what we could see. We like what we could feel. We like what we can taste. We like things that feel good. Sometimes it doesn't feel good to pull yourself out of bed early in the morning to go to daily mass. But the results, the benefit, is incredibly, it's overwhelming. The benefit is overwhelming that we receive when we do get to daily mass and are able to receive our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity. So I just encourage you to do that, especially if you're lacking peace, or if you're struggling to be good. This is the way to do it. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 34, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall ever be in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol His name. I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Look to Him that you may be radiant with joy, and your faces may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress, He saved him. You know, one of the things for us to consider is that when the Old Testament was written, especially all the books of the Old Testament, including this psalm that we just read, the people that we read about and the people who wrote those books did not have the great gift that you and I have. That's the ability to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. They didn't have that gift. So we are incredibly fortunate that not only can we pray to our Lord Jesus, but we can receive him, and we could go and honor him at Eucharistic adoration. If we pray before the Blessed Sacrament, we could receive him at daily Mass. I mean, this is such a great honor and a privilege for us. There are really no excuses for us to be judged one day and say to the Lord, okay, I messed up. I did a lot of bad things. I knew that your body and blood and soul and divinity was available for me all the time, but I didn't take advantage of it, Lord. I was busy. I had to work. I thought I could handle it on my own. You don't want to be in that position because you know better. I know better. We've got to take advantage of this great gift. Church gives us so many great gifts. Scripture, the saints, devotions, all of the sacraments, but above all, the Eucharist. Don't mess up. If the priest said on Sunday Mass, if you come back tomorrow, I'm going to give each one of you $1,000, you'd be there. You would find a way to get there, right? I mean, let's be honest here. So would I. We tend to value physical things more than we do spiritual things. But listen, it's a process. It's a process. We could pray for that. We could say, Lord, please help me to seek first the kingdom. And then I realize you'll provide me what I need. But help me to desire spiritual treasures. Because I'm telling you, that is not something that most of us desire. And it's an ongoing struggle. But we can pray for that desire to change. And we could force ourselves, until that happens, to go after these spiritual treasures. And, you know, I'm not trying to be too hard on you. You're listening to this show. That's a good thing. You obviously care about your spiritual well-being. But I think we all need to be challenged. We need to be stretched. Me too. Believe me, me too. So let's continue to pray for that desire. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 20 is the second reading. St. Paul says this, "Brothers and sisters, watch carefully how you live, not as foolish persons, but as wise, making the most of the opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not continue in ignorance, but try to understand what is the will of the Lord. And do not get drunk on wine, in which lies debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and playing to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks always and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father." And here you go. Here's a great example of putting spiritual things before material things. Just keep it in mind. Keep focused. Realize that eternity is a real long time. It's forever. There is no end. So if you slack off, right, slack off and you end up in hell, God forbid, it's not going to change. Picture the worst day of your life. Multiply it by a million. By 10 million, by a billion, by a gazillion, whatever. And understand that it's never going to get any better. That's hell. You don't want to be there. You can't be there. I don't want you to be there. And I want to make sure that I'm not responsible for letting you think it's okay to slack off. You've been given a gift. You're alive right now. Praise the Lord. God's got a plan for you. Go out there and do his work, whatever that may be. Go out there and get the help that you need from our Lord in the Eucharist. John chapter 6, verses 51 through 58 is the gospel. Jesus said to the crowds, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors, who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. Boy, I don't know how I could top that. What else can I say? There is the offer. You want to live forever? You want to get to heaven? Make sure you receive the sacrament of the Eucharist as often as possible. It's going to change your life. You're still going to have to fight against your weaknesses. That's part of the game. We're going to have to fight against it. But it's going to be so much easier. I can tell you there have been habits and vices that I never thought I would get rid of. And praise the Lord, I have been able one day at a time to overcome for this day those vices. And I always want to be really careful, because the minute we start thinking, oh, I could never do that again, that's my old sin, I couldn't do that anymore, you're going to get nailed. The devil's going to jump in and really try to tempt you. One day at a time, that's how we live. And with the help of our Lord and the graces that he gives us, it is possible. If you have questions, you can email me, Gary@followingthetruth.com, and I'll try to get back to you as soon as I can. Let's move on to the power of kindness. We're using the book Kindness by Father Lawrence Lovasik. This book was written in 1961, out of print now, but there is a version called The Hidden Power of Kindness, which is an abridged version. It's missing a few things, but it is available. It's a highly recommended book. You can get it on Amazon and at EWTN Religious Catalog. And I really recommend it. I think it would be very, very helpful, beneficial for you. Today we're going to talk about the Eucharist and charity, or the love of Jesus in the Eucharist. Here's what Father says. Jesus loved men while he was on earth. He continues to love them in heaven. He proved his love for us by giving us the sacraments. They are inexhaustible fountains of grace and holiness, which have their source in the boundless ocean of love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. But Jesus gives us his greatest proof of his love in the Eucharist. For 19 centuries, he has been with us night and day, like a friend who finds, of course, it's 20 centuries now because we're in another century. He has been with us night and day, like a friend who finds his pleasure with his friends, like a devoted physician who constantly remains near his patients. He is ever active, adoring, praising, and glorifying his Father for us, thanking him for all the benefits he continually bestows upon us, loving him in our stead, offering him his own merits and satisfactions to atone for our sins, and ever asking new graces in our behalf. As St. Paul says, consequently, he is able at all times to save those that come to God through him, living always as he does to make intercession on their behalf. That's Hebrews 7:25. Jesus continually renews upon the altar the sacrifice of Calvary in the Mass. At each Mass, he gives us the sacrament of the altar, his body and blood, soul and divinity, under the form of bread. Wherever there is a priest to consecrate, Jesus offers the sacrifice out of love for us, in order to apply to each of us the merits of his sacrifice, his grace, dispositions, and virtues. The Divine Heart of Jesus ardently longs to communicate to us his own love, and he once spoke to St. Margaret Mary in these words, "My Divine Heart is filled with so ardent a love for men, and for you in particular, that unable to contain the flames of its burning love, my heart must spread its love, and it must be made known through you, for I wish to enrich mankind with the priceless treasures of my heart." Let's see. Now, I'm going to try to paraphrase a little bit because I'm not going to read this whole thing. I want to just look at something here and highlight this, because here's what we need to know. Frequent Holy Communion will increase and preserve love for your neighbor. If you're having a hard time being nice to people, and in general, look, I mean, we all can be a little selfish. We all like to be happy. We like to be served. We don't like to go out of our way. I mean, it's just our nature. Frequent Holy Communion can help. By increasing sanctifying grace in your soul, Holy Communion gives you a fuller share in the life of Christ, and thereby unites you more intimately to all the members of his mystical body, the Church. See that? We're all part of this mystical body of Christ, the church. When I receive communion, it's more than just Jesus coming down to me. I mean, that's one way to think of it. But it's more as if I am taken up into the body of Christ. You see that? It's not so much it's a personal thing. He comes to me and I'm isolated. It's me being sucked up into the mystical body of Christ. And if you're a member of the mystical body of Christ too, a member of the church, I'm going to love you more because I'm closer to you. That's the beautiful effect of communion. The Eucharist is the bond of charity that unites all Christians as member of one spiritual body, the church, even as the soul gives life to each member of the human body. The Holy Eucharist unites us with Christ as he is. Now, Christ is the head, and we are the members of his mystical body. Therefore, by receiving Holy Communion, we are united to the head and also to the members. The Eucharist presupposes grace. Therefore, it requires that God be present in the soul. But to God dwelling in the soul by grace, it brings our Lord in his sacrament. Thus, the sacred flesh of the Son of God comes to add a new life-giving principle to this bond. When a host is broken, each particle contains our Lord. Yet all the particles form but one host. The Holy Communion is given to a large congregation, but all the hosts are but one Lord, and each of the faithful shares in this union, even to the union of all communions in other places and all times. The same indivisible life of Christ comes to each individual and becomes a bond of union among the assembled faithful. Holy Communion, in its true meaning, includes not only the desire to possess the divine guest for oneself, but also the desire to give oneself as completely as possible to all those sharing in the sacrificial banquet. When you receive communion, you receive our Lord united with his members. You don't become one only with the head, but you become one also with the whole church. You receive our Lord in a more fully Christian and Catholic manner if you desire to come into touch through our Lord with all those who are united to him and share with them the living union of this supernatural organism. One faith, one baptism, and one heavenly food, one mystical body. Through frequent Holy Communion, Jesus will also give you help to carry out his great commandment of love for your neighbor and to put away all unkindness. And you see that? That can really help us. If you're struggling, if you're not finding it easy to be nice to people, Holy Communion will help. He'll give you the actual grace to love your neighbor as yourself for his sake and to respect and love him as God's image and likeness. Then you will look upon your neighbor as a child of the Heavenly Father and as a temple of the Holy Spirit, as one to whom he gives himself in Holy Communion, as one whom he identified with himself. Saint Therese of Lisieux said, "I feel that when I am charitable, it is Jesus alone who acts in me. Oh my Jesus, I know that you do not command anything impossible. You know better than I my weakness and imperfection. You know that I shall not attain to loving my sisters as you love them unless you yourself, oh my divine Savior, love them in me." By frequent communion, you will learn to overcome your selfishness and to resist your natural feelings and reactions, such as hatred and bitterness. You'll also develop kindness and sympathy, forbearance and forgiveness. You will think kindly of everyone and find your happiness in making others happy. St. Francis de Sales writes, "Jesus, as our Lord, has always preferred us to himself, and still does so as often as we receive him in the Blessed Sacrament, making himself our food. So in like manner, he wishes us to have a love for one another, such that we will always prefer our neighbor to ourselves." Now, I'm just going to conclude with the fact that, remember, it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. So if you're receiving Holy Communion frequently and you're still feeling like a jerk, it's a process. Just think of how you would be if you didn't receive our Lord so much. But please, take advantage of this great gift. When you go to church on Sunday at Mass, think about these words of our Lord. "If you eat my body and drink my blood, you will have eternal life." That, my friend, is the way that you're going to get to heaven. Now, I am just about out of time. God willing, we're going to make it back here on Monday at 8 p.m. Please keep us all in your prayers, everybody at the retreat, the Pray, Hope, and Don't Worry retreat, and be assured that I'm going to be praying for you as well. Have yourself a wonderful weekend. Thanks so much for tuning in. It really makes my day when you show up here and we hang out together. God bless you. and I look forward to being with you next week.